Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for coming and praising the Lord and inviting into your heart and lives and an opportunity to testify of His goodness in our lives this week. So, we'll start out with I'll make this brief. Everyone said, why are you dressed up? And it comes to a point when I'm representing the office of the pastor today, why Rick and Faith are away. And it's times that the Lord calls us to fill a position. And sometimes it takes us from outside our comfort zone and what we want to do. And it's times that we need to put on the robes of righteousness, so to speak. So that's what's happening today. There was such a prompting to get dressed up versus coming casual. I don't want to disrespect the word. I don't want to come in shoddy, and that's not the purpose. And the purpose isn't also to build me up wearing a suit, but want to pay homage and respect to the position. And each of us are called from time to time to fill a position within the body. And this is just my desire to say thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Thank you for saving me. You called us up to do certain things at certain times, and I just want to honor your name. I want to honor your son, Jesus Christ, and I want to honor your calling upon my life. So with that being said, anyone would like to share a testimony? So I do have the opening scripture. Kelly, can you put it up? Deuteronomy 8:3, I believe. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with bread, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know. That's the first sentence. Then, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God does man live. And that was one of the scriptures the Lord gave me when he invited me to a fast. And Lorraine, I'm not sure what words the Lord gave you, but he settled it in my spirit, I'm going to live through the fast. And I shared, I lost 54 pounds and 5 inches on my waist. That's a lot. And sharing that with people, they say they could have never done that. And it's hard to explain with someone who doesn't know Christ that God sustained me. They see the physical, they saw the physical evidence of me wasting away, but they didn't understand that I was so healthy during that whole time. And that's because the Lord invited me, he humbled me, I agreed, and he took care of his end of the bargain by sustaining me. And it wasn't just by the material food, the substance of this world. It was by his word. And every time I would have pangs of hunger, and I would tell you I would die for a bag of Doritos during that fast. There was an unnatural craving. For, I could have anything but was Doritos. And the kid who I was working with brought a bag in and was shaking in front of my nose, and he opened it up just to test me. But that was okay. And when I was weak, I said, I would just ask the Lord for a word, like proceeding out of your mouth, to live by. And so what did he do? What proceeded out of God's mouth that we live by? First thing he spoke, created the light. If you go Genesis, the 7 days, what God did, he spoke and created life and everything that pertained to life. So if there's ever a question if God loves us or not, from the very big picture, from Genesis, he created. And in the same token, he created us at the very end. He said that was very good. Everything was good. When we created Adam, it was very good. So receive that. The reason why I say that man does not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And as I was coming out of the grocery store yesterday, there's a woman. Cell phone rings, smartphone. Off come the glasses. And she's doing this. And the cars can't back out. And the guy in the main road can't get by her because she's reading every word that proceeds out of the smartphone. There is such distraction from us to hear what the Lord would have to say. The Lord speaks in a quiet voice. A lot of times when he really wants to get our attention, it's not that booming voice. It's that really gentle prompting on our heart. And technology is really a substitute, a distraction from you hearing, because this woman stopped everything in the middle of the parking lot in traffic because that was more important. So a question I would pose to you is, the Word of God that important to you that you would stop what you're doing to hear what he would say for your life and receive it, and not to be tricked or deceived or ensnared by what the enemy would have you believing is truth. open in prayer before we continue. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your manifestations. Thank you that from the opening moment of fellowship, through your testimonies, the song selections, to Kenny words, holy, be holy for I am holy, you have already knit your purpose and will today. And you've shown that you've loved us before we loved you, and we have come before you this day to testify that we've tried your word, tested your word, applied your word in our lives, and it works. Mm-hmm. You confirm through signs and wonders, Lord, for those who don't believe, but for us that have already accepted you, Lord, and test you, Lord, your reassurance of your peace permeates our being, that we can walk confidently through this world, through the traps and snares of the enemy, already having knowledge and being forewarned and foretold by your word of what is happening, can happen, and how we can be victorious, how we can stay in love, not grow cold, but remain confident and joyful, because it is your joy that resides in us. And if anyone would have a word before we continue, please do share. The Lord said the word doesn't just have to come from...
When the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty.
Yes. Amen. So going back once again to the fasting notes, Jeremiah 29, 11 to 12. And what I shared last time was verse 11. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, and to give you an expected end. And that's where I stopped. And it wasn't until this week that the Lord gave me verse 12 as a follow-up. So the Lord thinks of his plans for us, and he thinks for all mankind, my plans for you are of peace. Right? And our response is, then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. But see, that's a revelation on our part. God knows the thoughts I have towards you. And if we're in rebellion, in this case, the Jezebel spirit, and keep on trucking, and people, either when they criticize you, you're out the door because you're not going to listen or come underneath the subjectation of the authority. Or, if people don't say anything, positive, constructive criticism, that's grace. I'm going to continue acting poorly because it's okay. Because if it was wrong, someone would tell me I was wrong. But, hello, we're telling you it's wrong. We get rebuked. You go to another house and start to cycle over and over. And the same thing happens at a different house, at a different house, in a different house. The person is growing ever so slightly, but missing out on the benefits of recognizing God's grace in our lives. I'm taking it back to us. So, we may be acting poorly, and God doesn't come down and strike us dead with a bolt of lightning. Because I think he's hoping that one day that you will call upon me. Call. It's usually an hour of desperation, frustration, we're in trouble, we screwed up. Then it says, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. So call unto me. I'll give you some of the definitions. It's to call, to cry, to utter a sound. To call unto, cry for help, call with the name of God. To proclaim. To read aloud, to read to oneself. To call, name, give name to, call by. To call oneself, to be called, to be proclaimed, to be read aloud. Basically, it's an action. We're calling out to the Lord. Last Sunday, there was a wonderful call and cry. Genevieve, when you were crying in the Spirit, that was powerful. The Spirit was groaning and interceding on your behalf. And I don't know if you had the revelation, but it came through the body. That was, didn't have to say another word. We don't. But there's where Jesus is, there's freedom, and you had the liberty and freedom to do that. Next thing, that was to cry to the Lord, and you come into the Lord, to go to the Lord.
is to go, walk, come, proceed, move, go away, to die. Imagine that, to die is to go. There's also, coming to me is a matter of life. Christianity isn't just coming to church. It's a way of life. To pray is to meditate, to judge, to intercede, and to pray. Now, what will God do after you do those things? It says he will hearken unto you. It's to hear, to perceive by ear, to hear of or concerning your matter, to hear, to have power to hear with attention or interest, to understand, to hear, like judicial cases. And today there's so many people and organizations talking about social justice. Every type of man, woman, and child and organization has social rights, and they're going to defend them. I think they lost the picture that Jesus Christ was the ultimate social justice. He freed us from the oppression of the enemy and from the curse of death. And everyone wants to have their rights. They are not acknowledging that Jesus Christ already did that. They're fighting over the little petty things, not realizing they were oppressed by the devil, sentenced to death, and still are underneath the curse of death as long as they don't know Jesus Christ, is that he is the equalizer. He's provided the justice. He's already provided judgment. But if they don't know that and accept it, they're doomed to the very thing they're fighting for. This is going to be lost. So listen, to give heed, to give consent, to agree is hearken. When you bring your requests and supplications to the Lord, in his will he agrees. Acts 26:18. Okay. Of course, this goes back to, for I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in with me. That's the thought of the Lord. Hebrews 4:2, and Carol, this is where we're going to put the slides in. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as to them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So salvation and faith. If you didn't know, I work for the utilities. All right, we know God's power. We can't see it, but if you have faith in Christ, faith in God, there's power. Well, this is man's attempt at power. These are the power lines. This one has a double cross, but usually you go outside the church, you can see a symbolism of Jesus Christ's cross on every utility line. That's one of the things I see at work. That's power, God's power. People can't see God. Besides nature, man has put up these symbols. So there's power, and the power is actually going, for us, is going through the power lines. And there's a force field around it. And power, depending on the voltage, generates a field that, if you go inside that field, you can be electrocuted. And we have to say a minimum of 2 feet, 6 inches if it's low voltage, and up to 6 feet if it's a higher voltage. So we can't go in there to trim out the trees. So my initial job, I was there to cut out the trees and the brush and vegetation. And I see so many things that grow into the lines that could cause problems. Carol, can you slide the next one? The tree on fire. See, now my new job, I'm more of an evangelist. Instead of doing the manual labor, God takes us from station to station as he feels. So now I'm knocking on doors, asking people's permission, can we maintain your power? We want to clear the lines so nothing, no growth goes into that line that caused a disruption of power. And if I were turning off that light switch now, the lights would go off, big deal, you turn them back on, we have the power. And most people, sure. Does it cost me anything? No. See? Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins for all mankind, for all time, but you have to receive it. So, God's knocking on people's hearts. He sends me to people's houses. Would you like that tree taken down so you have power? You don't lose power. You don't have anything growing into it. Like I said, most people say yes. No. Those are my favorite trees.
I'd be damned if those trees come down.
And a couple of years ago, that was this, that was standard, pretty much. Okay, there's been times that, that people, and we don't have to cut them, we can trim them down notch. But now there's a new law that if we say that's a hazard tree and it comes down and takes out the power, you're going to be financially responsible for that.
I have my own generator. I don't care.
And there's a scripture, I think it's in Proverbs, talks about people with their own fires, and they get burnt by it. Well, first of all, it's cost ineffective to run your own generator because it's so cheap to get the power through the utility company. Versus, but to have this attitude, I'm the captain of my ship, I have my own source of power, they're deceiving themselves because they still have to buy the gasoline. They still have to get the stuff. But it matters convenience. So in this case, the trees, for one reason or another, were the people didn't want them trimmed or whatever. They hit the line and bang. The wheat is separated from the chaff. That's what I see in this instance. God's power is coming through. Something's going to come in to interfere with God's power. God's a jealous God. His power is going to go through. It's going to His word is going to accomplish what it set out to be. But that's the power. And we only see it because it's the power lines. Next one, Carol. This is another tree laying on top of it. As believers, we want to share the goodness and grace of God's love and the power of His love. And we can go around smashing people with Bibles saying what they're wrong, but there are hindrances in people's lives preventing them from seeing Christ, seeing God. You can explain it to them, and that's why it's the Holy Spirit has to touch a person's heart. When we go to minister, we pray and bind those hindrances so the people that we meet can hear and see. All right? For whatever reason, the trees, the elements, the world grew over the power. And in time, they get old, decay, and they land on the lines. Same type of thing. They get burnt off. But it could cause a disruption in the power. Next one, Carol. The next one, the tree just uprooted, and it's on a line. Most the power is probably out because there's no fire. And there's a whole root ball system here, and the tree is down. And I've seen this, that people place their faith on a religion, our own personal belief, and what happens when it's uprooted? What happens when truth is exposes that? It falls down and lands on the power lines. Who's going to win? Well, right now, temporarily, the power is out. But because people are going through that process, what am I to believe? Obviously, it's a problem. You don't have power. Right? And this tree is on the line, and I've had instances where people say, well, the utility company's going to have to replace that tree and dig up a hole and replant it. Seriously, the tree is interfering with the power. So now what I have is door-to-door testifying of God, and people usually know. I don't go in there with my Jesus is Lord insignias and stuff. They can tell by the God's presence in me what I'm coming for. Coming in humbly, asking permission to maintain the power lines. And what they're thinking is free electricity or free tree work is, no, it's much greater than that. The free gift of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, is available to you. There's things in your life that are causing that power, can hinder that truth and knowledge of Jesus Christ being shared in your life. And it's my job just to ask permission to be the evangelist. And I say this because what some people think when God comes into your life, He's like, next slide, please. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Blah. He's coming through and He's going to wreck their lives, cause mass destruction. And Peter, you're not going to forget this sermon. And that's people's perception that I deal with God. This is God. He's a killjoy. He's going to disrupt my life. He's going to wreck my life. And that's the elements and the foundation of the world and the God of this world in retaliation to the truth. Carol, if you just go back to slide A. Oh, you like the Godzilla one? We can leave it on. So this is...
These are the thoughts I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans of peace, not of evil. Right? An expected end. God wants to have that clear communication and power accessible to you by any time through prayer. That when you call upon Him, come to Him and pray to Him, He hearkens unto you. Not like that last slide. And that's but He can do that. Man, what He does, it changes that Godzilla slide into that slide if you're willing. But we do serve a wonderful God. And earlier we said that Jesus called His apostles friends. And we're all friends here. Mm-hmm. We're all friends. And we don't have to be staunch and tie and collar. Oh, worship Lord. He wants us to be in that intimate relationship with Him that we can say, hey, Jesus, let's go. When He invited me to the fast, the one thing I can think of is Him pulling up next to a hot sports car and said, Tom, you want to go for a ride? And I said, sure, and I jumped in. I didn't ask where I was going, how we were going to get there, but He already told me it was 40 days, so I knew that. So He doesn't really surprise you. He foretells you. But isn't it wonderful that God could pull up into your heart and say, Sue, want to go for a ride? You want to go for a walk? And without hesitation, it's like, whoa, yeah, okay. Right, and you get in there, and Jesus is talking. He's telling you this is going to happen, and it happens. So He prepares you. This is what He did for my fast, so I wasn't caught by surprise. So it's like, oh, I don't like what you're saying. But He already forewarned me. He already told me I had to research the Scriptures. I had to call upon Him. Like, I don't like what you're showing me. And He's not doing it to scare me. Oh, by the way, Tom, you know, the bridge is out of order. He's still going towards the bridge. But He gives me a Scripture, and it's, oh, now I got to do a couple things. I have to apply this in my life, have to receive it, apply it in my life, and see what happens. And when it happened, oh, Jesus, you can fly over? Oh, wow, and we made it to the other side. Or it's a really bumpy road. Nothing's working out. The infrastructure had just fallen apart. The water mains are shooting water out everywhere. The fire engines are coming, and He wants to stop for a burger? Like, there's no power, Jesus, and He pulls right in there, and He, boom, wow. Then your focus starts getting off of what the world. This is not a fantasy. It's just He pulls you into His presence how He sees things. And the more you hear this, how He rejoices over us, where we would say, oh, I really messed up. And He just dusts you off. And you may want to tighten that seatbelt a little tighter, Tom. But He tells me before He does that. I'm not want to be disrespectful. But when we're in that relationship of intimacy with Him, He's there. He knows what your faults are. But through His blood, He sees you perfect and intercedes for us before the Father is being perfect. And He just wants to know how much He loves us. Don't dwell on what could have been, should have been, or I messed up. You're with Him. He's with you. And He's going to lead you into places where you would never want to go. And you would tell Him, I don't want to go. I don't want to talk to that person. Do you know about that? Of course He does. But He's in the process of changing our hearts and our lives to emulate Him. And He's given us His name and His authority to make the changes here on earth to do that. And when He stops at that destination after 40 days, He opens up the door, and I'll be back. We'll go for another ride, Tom. Thank you, Lord. And maybe next time I'm going to be the one pulling up in the car and say, Jesus. Because I know He's in charge anyway, but I want to extend the invite to Him. Father, this is where I want to go. This is where I'm thinking of going. And I'm sure very quickly He's going to say, yep, you're on the right path. Or, no. But I'm going to invite Him. And I think He's waiting for that invite for so many believers to have us invite Him more into our lives. And not to be afraid of what we think He might find out. Or, I'm going to invite you only into the first room of my house, and you're not going to look at the rest of the house because I know it's a mess. Just invite Him in. He already knows. And it's that invite of our heart that He's looking for. And when we give Him that access and say, yes, Lord, deal with me as you see fit, and I give you permission to do that, You may think, if go back to that Godzilla slide. You may think it's your life, but in actuality, go back to this A. That's what he would like to give: tranquility, peace, confidence, and knowing what the end is. And that's his love. It never changes. So, Father, we just want to, for the moment of silent meditation, just offer up our praise to you again, prayers of thanksgiving of who you are. Father, I confess at times I think that you're a distant God. You're still an Old Testament God, ready to just do me in because of the things I know I do wrong and times that I think I fall short. And yet, Jesus, how the world keeps on pressing in and trying to emphasize that, no, God can't love you. And your word says you do. Your testimonies of this morning and the songs all proclaim you do love us. And Lord, we open up our hearts now. We grant you access and freedom to continue to fill us. Open our eyes of understanding of who you are and the confidence that we can come to you boldly. With what we might think is the smallest request to what we think is maybe impossible in our own thinking. But you said if we pray in faith without wavering, you will make that mountain move and throw it into the sea. Now, Father, I just thank you for these promising words. And I thank you that everyone here receives and builds upon what you've already put on their hearts and dwelled in and empowered them. Just thank you for your love. And I thank you that we can take this love, your love, and bring it outside the four walls of the churches, to our families, to our places of employment, and once again, to wherever you would have us minister. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving those who don't know you yet. May they have a revelation of the plans you have for them. And just wait for the day that they call, cry out, and come to you. And Lord, may they have that revelation as we have a revelation today, that you will hearken until them. Father, we pray and we thank you for their salvation. For it is your will that no man will perish without the saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. Use us, Lord. May we submit our wills to yours, that we share that message to the world this day, and until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray.